Route 1, Windhoek to Kalahari and the Lodge. The Kalahari Experience. This 3.5-hour, 280 kilometers, journey takes you southwards from the capital city to the Kalahari Desert and to the stylish Kalahari and the Lodge, surrounded by burnt sienna sand. The Kalahari is characterized by burnished dune hills dotted with butter-colored grass and dark green camel thorn trees, which often support sprawling sociable weaver nests, accentuated against red sand and a deep blue sky. The magnificent landscape is home to the handsome desert-adapted oryx, ostrich, springbok, black-backed jackal, bat-eared fox and the Kauri bustard, the largest flying bird. Highlights of a Kalahari stay include the afternoon drive into the desert when the sinking sun sets, the sand aglow in fiery color. The ideal stop on this route to experience the Kalahari is Kalahari and the Lodge, imbued with Kalahari character, and on its afternoon nature drive into the Kalahari and the Park, link for Kalahari and the map. The shuttle departs at the Weinberg Windhoek Hotel and travels southwards through the meandering Oz Mountains to Rehoboth. Mountains, heroes and history. Windhoek is nestled in the arms of several mountains, the Oz Mountains to the south, the Eros Mountains to the east and the Homer's Hopland in the west, so it's no wonder that the airport had to be built 40 kilometers to the west of the city on level terrain. In the late 1890s and early 1900s, the German Schutztrupp appreciated the higher elevation as a mosquito and midge-free area where their horses were safe from horse sickness. Windhoek was initially called Igams in Nama or Otjamuis, Otjihero, referring to the hot spring that once existed in the settlement. We have Jonker Afrikaner, a renowned 19th century Oorlam leader, to thank for his road-building skills in the Oz Mountains as well as on the byweg from Windhoek to Walvis Bay. He constructed ox wagon tracks to establish trade routes with the Cape. When traveling southwards in days gone by, ox wagons had to outspan and rest on either side of the Oz range after taking a full day to negotiate the challenging mountain track. They would leave from the Ozpanplatz in Windhoek, the traffic circle has kept its name to this day, to travel through the Oz Mountains overnighting on the southern side in Rehoboth, then Tsumas and Kalkrand. The trip that today takes us 3 hours took them 5 days and 4 nights. On the outskirts of the city Heroes Acre, a war memorial built to honor Namibia's freedom fighters, is an unmistakable landmark with its towering marble obelisk that comes into view soon after the police checkpoint. It was built after Namibia gained its independence in 1990 to honor all those who lost their lives fighting for freedom. A bronze statue on the site, known as the Unknown Soldier, bears striking resemblance to Namibia's founding father and first president, Dr. Sam Nujoma. The road from Windhoek meanders through the mountains, passing through the Window Bridge, which perfectly frames the landscape, into the valley below. The hills are tawny colored in the dry mid-year months and vivid green after summer rainfall. A tree-filled expanse lines the road as you enter the town of Rehoboth. The town, 87 kilometers from Windhoek, is predominantly Bayster, a proud group of people originating from the Cape of Good Hope, descendants of Dutch colonists and indigenous Khoisan women. They moved north, crossing the Orange River and settling in Rehoboth in 1871. The Tropic of Capricorn, crosses and fences that circle the world. Just south of Rehoboth, keep eyes peeled for the signs indicating that you are passing through the Tropic of Capricorn. This refers to the line of latitude at 23 south of the equator, which marks the southernmost latitude that experiences the sun directly overhead at noon in midsummer. From here southwards, the sun appears at less than a 90 angle. As you travel into southern Namibia, the land becomes flatter and drier, corresponding with the decrease in rainfall, and sheep farms replace the cattle farms of the more fertile areas further north. Evergreen shepherd trees, important fodder plants for farmers, now dot the landscape. You may notice the many kilometers of farm fences along the way. Their accumulated length is said to be able to circle the globe several times. The nature of fences has changed over the years, many having been made jackal-proof, by the addition of wire netting added to the bottom, in the farmers' war against jackal. In some areas, game farms are noticeable with their high fences. Game farming became more popular in the 1960s when the government reviewed old legislation, changing ownership of game from state to the landowner or the communities. With the legislation, people's perception of game changed from seeing wildlife as competing with their livestock for grazing to being profitable assets. Look out for donkey carts racing along on the side of the road. They are the means of travel in the rural areas and are visible throughout the countryside. As you near Dunenveld, karosses hang on the fences, waving in the breeze. Karosses were traditionally cloaks made from animal hides. Warm and resilient, they were extensively used by the Khoisan people. They are now made into mats, throws and cushions, with various panels of springbok, and even caracal, hides sewn together in decorative patterns. Several Bayster traders purchase hides from the tannery in Dunenveld and creatively stitch pieces together, demonstrating their fine needlework skills. Kalkrand is one of the small settlements like Halmeranhausen, Bethany and Klein Karas that were bustling centers at the height of the caracal industry in the 1950s, 60s and 70s, when there was a lucrative market for the lamb's black pelts. Their towns usually had a railway siding, hotel, post office and police station, and supplied the farmers in the area with everything they needed, as well as a place to sell their pelts. Kalkrand was a hub in the area in those days, with a hardware shop, tennis club, trading store, police station and post office. The towns were lifelines for farmers for communication, and to sell produce or buy material, and farmers often trekked with their animals to these small towns to load them onto the trains for market. As roads and vehicles improved, farmers began to do their shopping in the larger towns, and the small settlements struggled to survive. The caracal market crashed in the 1980s, due to overproduction, the change in fashion trends, a series of droughts and an increase in anti-war activity by animal rights movements. Today, Kalkrand has lost its former glory, and is a dusty and neglected settlement on the main road to Windhoek. Hello Kalahari, here we come. As you travel southwards, you will begin to spot red Kalahari sand peeping through the vegetation on the hills. The Kalahari is a 900+000 square kilometer semi-arid savanna that extends into Botswana and South Africa. It is referred to as a fossil desert, rather than a true desert, as it receives more than 100 millimeters of rain per year. This means that it supports a greater variety of flora and fauna. The subterranean water reserves are responsible for the vegetation, including the distinctive camel thorn trees, visible along the dune edges and the river courses. After Kalkrand, and 10 kilometers before reaching Myantol, you reach the turnoff onto the C20 towards Stampriet. 30 kilometers along the C20, a 2 kilometer sandy access road on the left-hand side leads through the Kalahari Savannah to Kalahari and Nib Lodge. Enjoy lunch on the deck of the spacious, high-roofed restaurant, follow a walking trail, sip on a cold drink at the bar and laze around the pool. In the afternoon, join the afternoon nature drive into the Kalahari and Nib Park for a taste of the Kalahari and to toast life from the sand dunes as the sun slinks into the horizon, setting the landscape ablaze in golden hues. As the evening approaches, the vehicle heads back towards the lodge where a delicious buffet awaits and then sound and peaceful sleep, watched over by a star-studded night sky.